50 years ago today, scientists announced the discovery of the structure of DNA. Some researchers now see the genetic code as a strange piece of software, parts of which are billions of years old. NPR's David Kestenbaum has the last in our series on the anniversary of DNA.
Things that smell bad in refrigerators. That's how Len Adelman used to view biology. He was a strict mathematician at the time. Then he picked up a book by James Watson, one of the discoverers of the double helix, and read about how DNA makes a copy of itself. It's a remarkably mechanical process using a molecule called polymerase.
So I was late one night reading Watson's book, and what I see is that the DNA is like a rope with letters written on it, the A, T, C's, and G's, very long rope. And the polymerase is like a tightrope walker. And here it is, it's jumped onto the DNA, and it starts to walk down the rope. And at each step, it reads the letter underneath its foot, and it reaches up into the surrounding solution, and it grabs a new letter, A, T, C, or G, which will be the copy of the DNA. And I thought, this really looks familiar.
It looked exactly like the first drawings of a computer made in the 1930s by a mathematician named Alan Turing.
And it was at that moment that I thought, gee, maybe these things can compute.
Adelman, who's a professor at the University of Southern California, went on to use strands of DNA in a test tube to solve a math problem. It's thought of as the first DNA computer, though an admittedly primitive one. Lots of mathematicians and computer scientists share Adelman's general view. The cell to them is a strange kind of liquid computer run by DNA software. Adelman calculates that a sugar cube's worth of DNA stores more information than a trillion compact disks.
I suspect that when we look at the programming that's done by the cell, how it uses this information in DNA to direct what it has to do, I bet we will discover that it's the greatest programmer we've ever seen. Any organism or cell that's alive today has essentially been in a single elimination tournament for 3 billion years. So 3 billion years gets you a pretty sophisticated mechanism.
But why, if things are so well organized, our genetic code tied up in a neat little bundle, why is it taking so long to understand?
It's the worst kind of spaghetti code you could imagine.
This is David Hausler, a computer scientist at the University of California, Santa Cruz. Spaghetti code is what you get when a software designer doesn't really think a project through in advance. The code ends up so tangled that even the person who wrote it can't understand it. In a human cell, the idea is simple enough. Each gene in the DNA is an instruction for making a particular protein. But from there, things get complicated.
The general type of phenomenon is that you have a protein and we thought it did certain things, and then we found that it's also involved in this other pathway, and then, oh, my goodness, it's also involved in this process. Every few weeks, there's another function that we've discovered for this protein.
Imagine if a bank were organized this way. One worker would help sort letters in the mailroom and sometimes analyze stocks, sometimes cook French fries in the cafeteria, and occasionally go to a board meeting.
That kind of code is just the kind of code you don't want to build in engineering because it's generally not successful. It's amazing that life does it that way, and life is, of course, very successful.
Yeah, right. It's exactly what students are told not to do.
Precisely. Nature would not get good grades in my computer science classes, unfortunately.
And this is a major reason why it's so hard for scientists to fix cells, so hard to design drugs or cure diseases. DNA is spaghetti code because nature has been tinkering with the system for billions of years like a bad programmer. Bruce Albert is a biochemist and president of the National Academy of Sciences. He says the way proteins carry signals around a cell is about as complicated as the wiring in the brain.
We could know every connection of those chemical signaling pathways, and that's what we've been working out for years. But still, we may not be, or I would say we're not likely to be able to understand it without some new way of thinking about it.
Few researchers think a full understanding of this strange chemical computing system will come anytime soon. Len Adelman, the mathematician, gives it hundreds of years. Bruce Alberts wouldn't even make a prediction. Scientists may always have to tweak things in cells to see what happens. That, after all, is what nature has been doing. David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Washington.